From the Seven Feathers Casino Studio, KQEN weather in the Umpqua Valley today, sunny and hot. They revised it to 102 today. Slight chance of showers, thunderstorms between about 5 and 8 p.m. tonight, increasing as the evening goes on, then gradually turning clear, 58 the low, sunny and 93 tomorrow, dropping almost 10 degrees. But of course, the red flag warning through 11 o'clock tonight for much of the region. Right now, up to 88 degrees in Roseburg. KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
A lot going on in the Umpqua Valley this time of year, and we're letting you know about it, what's behind it. We're going to talk about Glide Revitalization and the Sasquatch Festival coming up this weekend. Jenna Beam, Executive Director of Glide Revitalization. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm busy, but I suspect you're busier.
Probably a little bit busier.
Getting ready for the event on Saturday. We'll talk more about Glide Revitalization in a little bit. But let's talk about the festival. It was a big hit last year.
It was. We ended up having about 4,600 people show up last year, and we expected 2,500. So it was amazing turnout.
What is that like logistically when you see you've got your expectations, and then you're like, oh, we're slammed?
Well, I didn't get to look up from the merchandise booth most of the time, so it caught me by surprise when I looked up and realized everything was packed. I started hearing from other people, we've got a line out on the road, and people are waiting a long time to get in, and it was kind of overwhelming, but also really exciting to see that many people coming to an event out in Glide.
And just so people know, that line last year happened to be an unrelated ODOT project out there on the bridge. That just the timing worked out that way, but you don't have that problem this year.
We do not have that problem this year. We will have both lanes open and should not have that kind of delay.
So what's the festival all about? What's behind it?
The original founders of Glide Revitalization came up with the idea to bring commerce and people out to the Glide area. As you know, Douglas County is a huge area for Sasquatch sightings. And so they thought it would be a fun idea. Everybody loves something that's a little bit of a mystery and a little bit of the unknown. And so they came up with the idea for a festival. And then with COVID and everything else, it kind of got derailed. And we brought it back 3 years ago.
You know, talk about the Sasquatch part, because I don't know if everybody realizes the amount of sightings that do take place around here.
We really are considered a hot spot. In fact, we'll have a big map out at the festival that shows all of the documented sightings. And then the experts that we bring in will talk about different areas that we have where they're commonly seen.
You know, last year, and I don't remember his name, we had one of the folks in here that was speaking out at the festival. And it was really fascinating to listen to him and some of the things, some of his background, all the science and things that went into it. And for people that haven't maybe tracked with that whole phenomenon as much, probably catches you off guard that it could be so close to home.
Yeah, the experts that we're bringing in this year, too, they'll have actual castings of footprints and stuff. They have video. We have Mike Freeman, who's the son of the famous Paul Freeman. He was the first person to ever catch a video of Sasquatch. Squatch America will be back. They're going to be talking about the legend, specifically in the Pacific Northwest. Then we also have Tom Seward, who's of Sasquatch Island. He grew up on the tribal lands of Canada. He focuses on experience-based and traditional storytelling of the legend. And then last, we're bringing in Jesus Payan. He's most commonly known for his role as Gonzo in Breaking Bad. And he's from New Mexico, and he's going to be talking about the evolution of Sasquatch.
And where did you find all these speakers?
A lot of them found us. We also have traveled to other Sasquatch festivals and summits and stuff and listened to them speak ourselves and got to meet them in person to find out who would be the best fit for our organization.
So many Sasquatch festivals have you gone to?
Me? Four now.
Really? Mm-hmm. All over the region?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the way up in Washington.
Wow, didn't realize all that was going on. You've also got music at the event too, right?
We do. We have four bands playing throughout the day. We have the Second Chance Band, and they do covers like Journey and ZZ Top. We have Copper Still, which is a local country cover band. We have Daniel Kelly Soul Project coming back. She's a cover and original band that has soul music out of Grants Pass. And then we're bringing in Buffalo Speedway this year from Idaho, and they play blues, country, and rock, and they are pretty phenomenal.
So do you kind of alternate between the Sasquatch speakers and the music, or is some of this going on at the same time in different parts of the field?
We alternate. So we have the speakers talking between the band sets, and then we position the speakers in a separate tent area so that they have a better shaded area where they can talk, and it's quieter, and everybody can hear them present.
And we should probably explain where this is in Glide.
So there's going to be signs everywhere. There's going to be Bigfoot cutouts. There's going to be big feet leading you to the big party. It's out past the Green Bridge in Glide, off to the left in the big hayfield.
And people might remember that in a lot of years as being a staging point sometimes when we've got fire camps.
Yes, it's most commonly known as where the fire camp is.
So what else is going on? Because I was amazed last year when I was out there about how many booths there were.
Well, we added more. So this year we have 10 food trucks and 80 vendors.
Whoa.
Everything from wood carving, metal, different art, different food vendors. We have a lot of nonprofits that came in this year. Pacific Power will be there doing rides in one of their bucket trucks. We have Aviva will be there with their trailer. We have everything you can imagine represented in a booth.
I don't know if I should try a bucket truck ride either.
I might. Well, we'll see how the bet plays out, but there's a chance I'm going to have to ride the mechanical bull. So.
Really? What's the better?
You have to show up to find out.
Probably shouldn't ask on live radio. Okay. So you've got, now where did you find all these folks for the booths?
A lot of them found us. Our vendors started, we opened up our vendor spaces in January, and by the end of January, we had filled over 75% of them.
Wow, and that's kind of unusual.
It is, and especially with, we have a few requirements. We ask that if you're going to participate, we want our festival to really stay true to the theme. And so you have to have something that you're selling that has to do with Bigfoot or has a picture of Bigfoot on it, or you have to theme your booth Sasquatch. And everybody has jumped on board, so it should be a lot of fun to walk around and even just see what people have decorated like.
So what is admission for getting into this?
Admission is still free. We're doing $5 per car for parking.
And talk about your main sponsors.
Our main sponsors are David and Kelly Trincaro again this year and Seven Feathers Casino. Those are our two title sponsors.
Now, putting this festival together, I'm sure you've had a lot of help.
We have, yeah. We have worked with a lot of other organizations as well as community help. Our board and our staff do a huge portion of it. And then the couple of days of the event, leading up to the event and after the event, we rely heavily on volunteer help. We've got kids from Job Corps, Phoenix School, Glide High School, anyone and everyone we can find jumping on board to come help us.
And essentially, is this a benefit for Glide Revitalization?
The volunteers or?
No, just, I mean, the event itself.
So the event itself does not really generate income for our organization. It was designed to bring commerce out to the Glide area and help get people coming back out there to see. We've got restaurants. We've got all this stuff still here after the fire. So we as an organization actually take a loss on the festival.
Wow. So you just want to see kind of a fun event of this level in Glide.
Yeah, and we want to give back. Last year we did a little over $2,500 in sponsorships to local sports teams that came out and volunteered for us. We gave them $500 for each team that filled a volunteer spot. We're doing the same thing again this year, and then again it's hoping to continue to drive people out to the Glide area after they come do this fun thing and then come back later.
Now, do you still need more volunteer groups?
We do. We have a lot of space open for more volunteers. You can sign up on the GlideSasquatchFestival.com. There's a link. You register to volunteer, and you get a free T-shirt out of it.
Now, what was the funnest part last year for you?
Seeing all the people. Living in Glide, I've grown up there. I left. I came back. I absolutely love this community, and I love that it's a small town, and I love that we're away from the big city. But there's something really fun about seeing that many people come out to an event in Glide. I saw a ton of people I knew, and just seeing that many kids and adults out having fun in the Glide area, that was huge for me.
All right. Jenna Beam from Glide Revitalization. Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio at 4. Tomorrow, we're doing a couple of special feature interviews live from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, from the Republican National Convention. Bob Tiernan scheduled to be with us on Inside Douglas County tomorrow. We're talking about Glide Revitalization. Executive Director Jenna Beam in here. We're talking about the festival, but let's talk about the organization behind it. How long has Glide Revitalization been around?
It was actually started around 2014, and then it became incorporated and got their nonprofit status in 2017.
So what led to it getting started?
It was a group of people in the Glide area that wanted to do like beautification projects, bring a Sasquatch festival, a park, little things like that into the Glide area. They wanted to see growth in Glide.
And how did it evolve after it got started?
They stayed focused on those things and worked on them slowly for a while. And then when 2020 hit and we had the fires, it really kind of pivoted the organization for a while. They stepped in and immediately started providing relief and assistance for fire victims. And through that, got state and federal contracts to provide casework. So we were one of the few fire footprints that handled the casework on a local level. It meant local people were helping take care of local people, which is a big deal. You understand the needs, the different demographic, and why it's unique. So we did that, and we're continuing to wrap that up. But that was really a huge pivot point for the organization. Coming out of that, it's enabled us to look at different needs within the community and focus on how to continue meeting those going forward.
So for some of the other fire areas in those 2020 Labor Day fires, then was it mainly folks coming in from FEMA or statewide groups, or how did that work?
Yeah, so a lot of those areas had FEMA or other organizations like out of Salem that handled the casework for the individuals. That's been one of our big focuses through this whole thing, is we never wanted people in the Glide area that had suffered a loss to have to work without local support. We wanted to constantly be there and be that place where they can come in face to face and get help with whatever they needed.
What was that like going through that process?
It's a lot.
I mean, you don't see something like this coming.
No, and I was actually a volunteer with the organization at the time of the fire. Myself and some of my close friends all got evacuated. Luckily, we didn't have those kind of losses. But it was really surreal through the whole thing. We are used to fire. We're used to wildfires close to home. We're not used to wildfires claiming homes. And we're definitely not used to how you pick up the pieces from that. And I gotta say, Glide has stayed true to the character I've always seen, is they really are resilient. They're resilient, they're self-sufficient, and they still have that, doesn't matter what happens, we're gonna find a way to recover from it.
And did you notice that, we heard stories going back to that day, because there were so many, obviously you had all the first responder folks, you had a lot of people who worked in the woods that weren't working right then because of fire restrictions. It seemed like everybody just jumped in, and a lot of times even using their own equipment. Had that not been the case, the situation would have been a whole lot worse.
Yeah, it would have. And I got to say, that's kind of the classic Glide attitude we have. Through every big event that I can remember, you know, like I said, I grew up there. If there was a bunch of snow, it was the local farmers, ranchers, equipment owners that plowed roads until the county could come out. If there was flooding happening, it was neighbors helping neighbors. And it's been the same thing with the fire responses. It was people locally with equipment that know the area and had the ability to jump in and engage without having to wait for some of the kind of bureaucratic red tape to clear.
Now, you've mentioned some of the work with the fire victims. Where's that at? I mean, we're 4 years down the road, but I know there's a long way to go for a lot of people.
There is. It's way smaller scale. You know, we're working with probably 35 to 40 cases instead of the original 200 and trying to wrap that up also. We did actually have a partnership that we're just about to complete with Habitat for Humanity, where we did a brand new home build for one of our survivors. We still have some state funding that we can work with to try to get assistance for people that haven't rebuilt and are still in that recovery process. The hard part is the further away from the fire we get, the less funding is available and the tighter the restrictions are becoming. They really are targeting very, very low income requirements, which is a huge barrier to people and isn't necessarily fair considering the scope of what happened.
And how much rebuilding has gone on?
Not enough. I would say rough estimate, probably about a third of what was lost has been rebuilt, maybe a little bit more.
And so I know a number of people kind of opted to just start over somewhere else, right?
Yeah, some people left, some people sold the property. For others, it might have been a second home. There was a lot of that. And if it's an investment, right now it's not necessarily a good investment to build back.
So. Right. And it's obviously a long process because of all the infrastructure. It's not just rebuilding your house. It's making sure you've got a water line, sewer line, and all that.
It is. And, you know, a lot of the places that were burned are well outside the greater Glide area. And we are not an incorporated town. We have a water association and a sewer district, but we don't have municipal water systems and stuff. In fact, our water has been on a moratorium for 3 years, which is another barrier to growth and rebuilding. So you're talking about putting in wells and the water table shifted, and you're talking about sewer systems and septic systems that were homesteaded that now have to meet the new requirements and licensing and permitting, and that has been huge barriers to people.
So for Glide revitalization, what other areas have you evolved into helping?
Okay, so I'm gonna try not to leave anything off the list. We've partnered with UCAN for the last 2 years, and we do preschool promise. We started a childcare, Little Loggers Play School. We have a workforce development program working with youth between the ages of 16 and 24 to get them job placement, but also to teach them job skills. So we partner them with local contractors. We find community assistance projects, whether it's somebody that's elderly that has a deck that needs repaired or a wheelchair ramp installed. We take them and we go do these building projects, and it gets them skills that they can then take on to another job. We have two different scholarship programs we started. One's for trade schools, and one's for a skilled nursing program. We have continued to do mitigation work to create defensible space around properties. We are wrapping up reforestation. To date, we've put about 400,000 trees in the ground. We are also working on the new building and continuing to develop, you know, the community resource hub in the area. And I'm sure there's some, our community assistance programs. So we continue to take requests from people in the community that were not affected by the fire but need assistance with a project or a hardship that they're experiencing, and we find ways to meet those needs.
So after shifting, after a few years of the mainly Archie Creek work, how many staff do you have right now?
Three full-time and two full-time in the child care.
And then how is the organization funded?
The organization is still primarily funded through grants and state and federal contracts, but mostly through grants.
Now, do you guys use volunteers?
We do. Yeah, we're always welcoming volunteers. It shifts day to day what that might look like. Sometimes we might need volunteers to go with us and do site assessments or help with mitigation work, different things like that. And other days it might be helping organize books in the library or help with general office tasks.
And for people that want to find out more about Glide Revitalization, what's your website?
It's gliderevitalization.com.
Now, let's, before we go in the last minute, talk about the festival again. So Saturday, what time?
12 to 9.
And where is it?
It's the field past the Green Bridge in Glide, so off North Umpqua Highway. It doesn't have an official address, but there will be a ton of signage.
I was going to say, this is probably one of those times where you just drive out there and follow everybody else.
You do, and there will be giant feet that lead you out there, as well as giant Bigfoot silhouettes and banners and a line of cars.
And how many vendor booths did you say you had?
80. We have 80 this year.
So whatever people are maybe looking for that you might find at a typical festival, it sounds like you probably have it.
We do. We have it and then some.
And music, but also mention the speakers again real quick.
So we have Squatch America, we have Mike Freeman, and Tom Seward, and, I almost forgot, Jesus Pan.
All right, that's all going to be Saturday again, noon to 9 for the Glide Sasquatch Festival. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.